The King Without a Heart, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1888. The Duke of Starbrook finished the family prayers, and the servants filed out of the dining room. When they had gone, the family moved to the table where breakfast was waiting for them, and the butler and two footmen began to serve them. The Duke of Starbrook finished the family prayers, and the servants filed out of the dining room. When they had gone, the family moved to the table where breakfast was waiting for them, and the butler and two footmen began to serve them. As they did so, the door opened, and a young girl came nervously into the room. She was small, slight, and very pretty, but the expression on her face at the moment was one of anxiety. She walked up to the Duke and bent to kiss his cheek.
"Why were you not at prayers, Titania?" he asked sharply.
"I'm sorry, Uncle Edward, but I was delayed when I came back from riding."
"Delayed?"
questioned the Duchess of Starbrook from the end of the table. "That is only a word to cover up your carelessness in not noting the time."
"I'm sorry, Aunt Louise," murmured Titania.
"So you should be," replied the Duchess. "If I had any more nonsense, I shall tell your uncle to forbid you to ride each morning. It is a waste of time, anyway." Titania gave a gasp. Yet, as she sat down at the breakfast table, she knew it was her own fault. It had been a lovely morning, and as she had ridden through the woods that she loved, she had forgotten everything, and for the moment she was feeling happy. She reached a pool in the woods, which was her favourite place, because she believed that the water nymphs lived there. It was then that she realised that time was marching on, and if she was late for prayers, she would be in trouble. She had ridden Mercury back as quickly as she could. Even so, when she had changed her clothes and run downstairs, the dining room door was closed. She could hear her uncle's stentorian voice reading a prayer, and those who had been listening to him intoned a respectful amen. Then, as the servants began to move out, she hurried in, knowing that she was in trouble. However, to her relief, there was no long lecture, which she would normally have received on such occasions. The Duke, in a surprisingly good humour, was looking down at his letters, which had been placed, as usual, beside his plate, after having been carefully sorted by his secretary. Bills and requests for money were dealt with in the office, and only the private letters were taken to the Duke. There was one which he had opened first, and he was reading it with a faint smile on his hard lips. From the end of the table, the Duchess was watching him quizzically, but she was far too controlled to ask him the contents of the letter before he was ready to tell her. Sitting opposite Titania on the Duke's right was her cousin, Lady Sophie Brooke, who had just enjoyed a season in London, and undoubtedly had been one of the most important debutantes of the year. The Duke had given a ball for her, and was planning another a little later in the summer to take place here at Starbrook Hall. All the notable neighbours in the county would be invited, and Titania was wondering if there was any chance of her being allowed to attend this ball. She had not been taken to London when the first ball was held, the excuse being that she was still in mourning for her father and mother. This was strictly not true, as the 12 months, which was considered the correct period for mourning, had been over for 3 weeks. Titania had been sensible enough to face the truth that her uncle did not want her at the London ball. It was not only because he was ashamed of her mother, but because she was so much prettier than her cousin. Titania was not in the least conceited, but she recognised that she closely resembled her mother, and while the Starbrook family had been excessively rude to her father, Lord Rupert Brooke, everyone else had spoken about his wife's beauty. They understood exactly why Lord Rupert had fallen in love with her. The Duke of Starbrook was like his father. The fifth Duke had been determined to keep the blood of the Starbrooks as blue as it had been for the last 200 years, and had arranged his son's marriage with Princess Louise of Hudelberg. It was not a particularly important principality, but there was a distant connection with Queen Victoria, and no one could say Princess Louise was not the perfect wife for the next Duke. Unfortunately, the second son, Lord Rupert Brooke, upset his father's plans.